You have to learn how to fall, and you have to learn how to get up safely. And I'm like, I don't want to learn how to fall. I want to learn how not to fall.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. You have to learn how to fall safely. He's like, that's just part of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I went, oh my God, falling is not failing. Falling is just part of it. And I don't know why, as women, we are such perfectionists. It's like paralyzing.
Yeah.
But if we just were taught, you know, falling is normal. Just get back up, you know? Mm-hmm. And so just pat up and do it safely. And, mm-hmm. and oh, by the way, avoid the fight if you can. But if you can't, learn how to hit hard. Hi, Serena. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, yes. No,
so fun joining you.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy that this really just synergistically worked out. Like, absolutely. I mean, it was just perfect that it did. And I'm just thrilled to see your beautiful face here. I've been raving about you for like 10 minutes. I like doing this now where I get a chance to like rave about my guests and like do little sum ups and just talk to the people for and our beautiful people here for a few minutes before my guest comes on, because I really want to focus on you, and I know that your time is valuable and limited. So first of all, thank you so much for joining us. And
absolutely,
you're glowing and just
so
beautiful.
Are you? I was just thinking that you're just so healthy, you're so pretty.
Well, you know what? Everything that we preach and we teach, we do. And and so I'm just kind of giving credit to Mother Nature and all the beautiful vegetables and everything that I get to put into my body and our sunshine. So first, I have to tell you that we have a friend in common, Roger Love.
I love Roger. I haven't been able to see him through this whole thing, but I love him so much.
He's so wonderful.
Yes, you take voice lessons with him?
Yes, he's like my speaking and voice coach, but he's also become just a dear friend and mentor. And
that's so fantastic.
He's just one of the best humans on the planet. And I'm just so grateful that I have him in my circle. And so when I had COVID, actually, it was almost a year ago, and I had some lingering neurological issues. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but started to look at the clinics, and I talked to Roger about that, and that's kind of how it all came up, that we realized that, I realized that he knew you guys. I didn't even know that.
It's so fantastic.
Yeah.
My husband and I both took, voice coaching for speaking with him, and then my daughter took lessons with him as well. He's awesome.
He's just awesome. He's magical. You guys, and Roger's coming back on too. We did one live with Roger. He's going to come back on later. But back to our beautiful guest today. So for those of you who are just joining and weren't on about 10 or 15 minutes ago, we have this incredible, angelic, beautiful, glowy soul. Her name is Tana Amon, and she is a world-renowned New York Times best-selling author, and she's such an inspiration, and I'm lucky because I'm meeting her really now virtually for the first time, but I got a chance to dive into her story a little bit, and I'm so grateful for who you are and the fact that you've opened up and shared your story. You know, she's a cancer survivor. She is a nurse. She was a neurosurgical ICU trauma nurse. You're so many things, and now you've written this book that is going to help so many people. So I know that you're here to talk about how to be mentally and physically strong in 2021 and some key takeaways. But if you could just give everyone, you know, and I know it's not short, but just a little bit more background on you to really do justice, like your incredible journey. I have been raving about the inspiration that you are.
You know, it's so funny that you, thank you for that wonderful introduction. But when my husband kept encouraging me to write this book, and I'm like, why? I mean, what's special about my story? There's so many people who have been through worse, who have similar stories. And then you start to write it. And when a psychiatrist, when you're dating a psychiatrist, now we've been married for a long time, but when we were dating, you know, and you're telling them your story or some of the memories you have, and they look at you and they go, wow, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I realized, like, why are you saying that? Like, this isn't, I mean, don't a lot of people have this happen? Because mm-hmm. when you go through a lot of trauma in your childhood, you tend to minimize it. And so I certainly
did. Too. I did.
Yeah. And so that's how you survive it. You survive it by going, well, it wasn't that big of a deal, or other people have it worse, or, you know, you do these things. So it still sounds odd to me when people say, oh, you've been through so much, like, you know, can you sum it up? And then I start to list it and I'm like, that does sound a little crazy, but, you know, it's true. And my early childhood memories were not good memories. They were scary memories. You know, I remember my first memory was almost drowning when I was two. And then also shortly after that, I remember waking up in the house and no one was home. And I was running through the house, like, trying to find my mom, and I couldn't find my mom. And I was dialing the phone. I remember seeing my mom use the phone. And so I didn't know how to use the phone. It was a rotary phone. But somehow I accidentally dialed zero. And so I ended up with the operator on the phone. It was a crazy story. And then I remember the day my uncle was murdered in a drug deal gone wrong when I was four. And then, you know, it goes on. There's more memories in between there. And then in my adolescence, I was molested by my stepfather. And then there's some more things that happen. They stack it through my adolescence. But then, you know, in my 20s, right when I start to think I'm getting things back on track, I was diagnosed with cancer. And it was at a time when I was just thinking that life was finally going to go my way. I actually had tested for Playboy and thought that at the time that was important to me. At the time, I thought that my physical appearance was one of my greatest assets, if you will, because I thought it was expected. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought that this was what people expected of me. And especially growing up the way I did, I really dig into that, my physical appearance, how that came to be in the book. I really talk a lot about that, like why that was so devastating for me. But in the same couple weeks when I found out I had cancer, when I found out I'd been accepted by Playboy, I also found out I had cancer. And oh, by the way, I found out my mother was having brain surgery. And it was just everything crashed around me. And I was like, why is life like this for me? Yeah. And I know so many people have that thought. It's like, why can't I seem to get it right?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it's, if there's a God, he doesn't love me.
Yeah.
And this is too hard. And so life is just not worth living.
Yeah.
And I remember having that thought, and I didn't try to kill myself, but I remember praying that the truck, like, driving down the street would just hit me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just wasn't worth it anymore. Yeah. You know, it was so hard. But then it got worse because I went to go get help for the depression. And I mean, I laugh like in a pathetic way, not in a funny ha-ha way. But I went to go get help and I was put on a medication that did not work for my brain. So they put me on Prozac, and for the right person, for the right brain, I'm not anti-medication. At Amon Clinics, we are not anti-medication. If it's making your life better and it's the right brain, the right drug for your brain, fine. But this one was not. And back then no one really thought about stuff like that. And they just put everybody on the same meds. So I was put on Prozac, and I went from being this incredibly overly anxious individual to dangerously impulsive. Mm-hmm. And I made a series of decisions that could have ruined the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty crazy time in my life before things started to turn around.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, so much of what you're saying resonates with me. So I know it resonates with, clearly it's resonated with not just the 600 people here now, but just with thousands and millions of other people. And we minimize to cope, you know. I mean, I've been through 8 surgeries and, you know, all kinds of things in, you know, my past as well. And anytime I share, which is not all the time and not very often, I get a very similar response. And I thought the same things you did, you know, which is like, oh, well, there are people who've been through worse. You know, there are people who lived in war, grew up in war, and there's so many things. And so, but, you know, you are a shining example of someone who I'm looking up to you because you're taking your story and your journey and you're creating a healing space and a community around it and letting other people know that embracing that and embracing and acknowledging that not just as a healing process for you, but for others. And so that inspires me to share mine. So for those of you guys who have just joined on, we are talking about the relentless courage of a scared child, which is, you know, should I go through the whole title? But that's, you know, the relentless courage of a scared child. And this is the new book by Tana Amen, and I really think that everyone needs to go and read it and buy it. Mine's coming in the mail. For those of you that don't already follow her, I've pinned her account right here on my comment right here. So make sure that you go and you give her a follow after this. You go to her site, check out everything that she's sharing. She's just such a beautiful wealth of information. And this book, I think, is gonna be life-changing for just millions of people. So I interrupted, but yes, could you please tell us a little bit more, because that was your backstory and what led you to write this book?
You know, when I finally started to turn things around, Serena, it's, you know, they say when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and that happened for me. So I have a really cool, there's a cool turning point, and it happened in my 20s. I was about 25. So after the Prozac situation, I took myself off the drug. By the way, do not do that. Please don't do that. I had a doctor who wouldn't really listen to me, but I was behaving so oddly. I felt disconnected and no one was listening. But if you have a problem and your doctor's not listening to you, please hear me clearly. Find a new doctor. Your doctor is not your daddy. They're not your mommy, and they're not your boss. So if you have a doctor, they're supposed to be your partner in health. And so if you have a doctor who's not listening, don't take yourself off of a medication cold turkey. You can have a lot of really nasty side effects. So find a doctor who is listening to you, who will be your partner. That didn't happen for me. So I took myself off the medication, but fortunately I was fine. But I have this cool moment. So my uncle was a heroin addict when I was young and caused a lot of chaos and problems in my house. He lived with us. And because of him, my other uncle was murdered in the drug deal gone wrong. So we were not close, to say the least. He scared me. And now fast forward, I'm an adult. Cool full circle moment. So when the person who you were afraid of becomes your mentor, you know, the addict becomes the mentor. It was really cool. So I'm 25, and he's now turned his life around. He's teaching self-help seminars, of all things. He's, you know, coaching kids in, juvenile hall. And so I was a mess. I made a series of bad decisions in my life. I'm a mess. And so I was just sort of lost. And so he says, you know, come to Hawaii. I want you to come to Hawaii and spend some time with me and go to the seminar. I think it'll be good for you. And I'm like, you know, there's no seminar that's going to help me, but a trip to Hawaii, that could be really helpful. So I'm good for that. But he said this one thing that really changed my life. It really changed everything for me. When he said, we were sitting one day and he said, how much responsibility are you willing to take for your life and where it's at right now? And I was like, for which part? For being molested, for growing up poor, for having cancer? Like, I was doing the whole victim, feeling sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, I didn't say how much blame are you willing to take. I asked you how much responsibility you would take, which means the ability to respond. And I was like, light switch moment. I was just like, whoa. He said, if you take 50% responsibility, you have 50% opportunity to change, but someone else still has the other 50% that's going to control the outcome. And I'm like, I don't want anybody else having control over the 50% of my life. And so for some reason, that really resonated with me. And to this day, responsibility is the most important word. Like, it's one of my favorite words, is responsibility, the ability to respond. So now when things go wrong in my life, even today, like COVID, like whatever's happening, it's like, what is the opportunity here? It's not like I don't get down.
Yes.
Not like I don't get frustrated, right? But you look in the mirror and you're like, what can I do? Not what can't I do. What can I do? What's the opportunity? And it just changes the discussion.
100%. I mean, we had COVID, you know, in March and April when it was quite chaotic here in LA. And you know, it is exactly what you said. I truly believe that opportunities come from these obstacles, and you just have to kind of get past like what's right in front of you and like, what can I do more? How can I serve more? And then you find your answers and solutions. So that is just like, how can I respond to this? Like that, I love that. I mean, responsibility, the ability to respond. Yes. Do you see these emojis? I love all the response to this. Everyone's like, wow, mind expansion.
Yeah, it was awesome. And it was so interesting. It still is a journey. I don't want people to like that was a light switch moment. That's what kicked me into gear. It's not like everything just like got better from there. It's like there's this jagged line, but it's in the right trajectory. It's on the right trajectory. It's going the right direction. So you have ups, you have downs, you have ups, you have downs. But you know, instead of getting so upset, I love this one thing my husband says, be curious, not furious. So we learn the most in those down times. You know, it's when you fall. So I practice martial arts. I love martial arts. Mm-hmm. And I learned this one thing that, you know, it was so great. I wish someone had taught me this when I was, you know, 12 or mm-hmm. 10. I went in and I wanted to learn. I'd been not only sexually, you know, assaulted when I was, or molested when I was young, but then I was assaulted when I was walking to high school when I was 15. I was just kind of done. I was done. Yeah. I was like, I'm done with this. I want to be tough. I want to be strong. I want to learn how to fight. So mm-hmm. I went in and I want to learn how to fight. And I like wanted to learn how to hit really hard. Mm-hmm. And I walk into the dojo and he's like, yeah, how about if we teach you how to not fight, if we teach you how to stay out of a fight. He's like, you know, you fighting with a 250-pound guy is probably not the best thing you could do. He's like, we'll get there. If you don't have a choice, I'll teach you how to fight. Like, you only fight when you don't have a choice. But the best thing you can do is avoid a fight. Be armed, prepared, aware. He's like, and you need to go pad up because you need to learn how to fall. You have to learn how to fall. You have to learn how to get up safely. And I'm like, I don't want to learn how to fall. I want to learn how not to fall.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. You have to learn how to fall safely. He's like, that's just part of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I went, oh my God, falling is not failing. Falling is just part of it. And I don't know why, as women, we are such perfectionists. It's like paralyzing.
Yeah.
But if we just were taught, you know, falling is normal. Just get back up, you know? And so just pad up and do it safely. And oh, by the way, avoid the fight if you can. But if you can't, learn how to hit hard.
No, I mean, it's so true. We do. I feel like it's almost just in our cellular data that we try so hard to be perfect, you know, to the point of paralyzing ourselves so often. And then maybe things are going in a good place, and then we bring in that imposter syndrome. So I love that you're just reminding everyone that it wasn't like a straight shoot, like the light switch goes and everything falls into place. But it's the journey, you know, and it's every step of that journey. And that was just the first. And even now, just in like 10 minutes, you've gifted us with so many beautiful golden nuggets of wisdom. And that's imparted in us because of every one of those steps, you know, because of those difficult moments. And so that's amazing. I wanted to ask you, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I don't know why you became a chef. I know I went into food to heal myself. I was just curious, why you became a chef. Well,
oh, yeah. So you guys, we're like getting to know each other because we don't know each other yet. We're going to mess up soon.
Exactly.
My background is I became a chef because of my parents. So when I was a senior in college at Berkeley, our daddy, my sister's here. It's just the two of us. Our daddy was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer. And, you know, for him, it was a blood disease. He knew about it because his grandpa had the same thing and it passed from that. He had hepatitis B. It was, you know, genetic. So he was checking on it as an adult throughout his life. And somehow between 2 6-month checkups, it went from fine, according to his doctors at the time, fine, to now you're stage 4. So he was like 40, you know, 7 and a half at the time, 48. And so, well, actually, no, he passed at 48, so he was a little bit younger than that. And it was, I mean, it just changed my whole life, you know, and at the time, I couldn't even connect it. You know, it was like, wait, my dad, he's my hero, my knight in shining armor, or daddy's girls was sick. And okay, so we've got to graduate college and get married and have a baby and have a career and all these things, because he had told us 5 years. But in reality, it was like, he barely made it to a year and really fought to go a couple months past that for us. So that really had me, during that time, I started looking at nutrition and herbs and food and how we can use food to heal or at least comfort. And then 2 months after my daddy passed, our mom got sick with cancer and she was 45. So that pretty much just, and she's still with us. You know, I think my dad, like, it was her angel, because it was a really rare form of ovarian cancer.
Oh, wow.
Probably stress-induced, because no cancer on my mom's side. But that's really why I started to think other people shouldn't have to go through this, you know, and caretakers should be equipped with, you know, the knowledge of how they can help their loved ones, whether it's through food and nutrition and food as medicine, but also food healing the soul. You know, because food is such a source of love and comfort at the same time. And as you know, when you have cancer or some other disease, you're limited. So that's why I decided to go to culinary school, to study the culinary arts so that we can make beautiful food, you know, also healing. Because people thought it was bland, you know, like if right. you were sick,
you ate healthy, it was boring.
Yeah, it's like no fun. And so anyway, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but that's why I became, that's why I went to study Le Cordon Bleu, became a chef, studied nutrition. I actually worked at Playboy. That was my first job. I worked for half. I was an intern.
That's so funny.
And then a junior chef there. But that became my journey. And then I had my own health issues. I ended up having 8 surgeries, but that's what brought the Reiki and the energy healing component into my practice. So I practice culinary alchemy. So I take, you know, food and nutrition,
love that.
But also Reiki, and I create protocols. So that's my background. That's why I resonate so much with what you do. Your mindset, just everything that you teach and share is so in alignment. And that's why I'm so happy to be here.
We have that in common. Yeah, we have that in common. So I went into food and I wrote my cookbooks and stuff because I was trying to heal myself. I mean, I started like just taking as many courses as I could for that reason. But I had 10 medical surgeries. I was one of those really sick kids. I write about it a lot in the book. I was sick all the time. And, you know, when I first became a nurse, I didn't believe this idea that stress or what we experience as a child or even as an adult can have an effect on our health. I'm like, yeah, that's ridiculous. It's psychobabble. Except I was one of those frequent flyers, always on antibiotics. I had 10 medical surgeries, cancer that returned that shouldn't have returned. Mm-hmm. Had all these things that kept happening. And 2 weeks after my uncle had been murdered when I was 4, I went into the hospital with upper and lower GIs as a 4-year-old because of severe digestive issues. And they never figured out what it was. It just always followed me. And so I went into food for that reason. But I also developed an eating disorder in my teens just because I felt so out of control with my life. And I remember just like really hiding that and feeling so much shame around it. So part of my journey into food was like, what is the connection, not just about the psychological part of food, the physical part of food? How is food, what we choose to eat, affecting our hormones, our food choices, our decision-making? And I became fascinated by it.
Yes. No, I mean, someone just said, top cortisol, please. And there's actually
absolutely
quite a few questions that came up when we get to the, you know, the Q&A part that has to do with hormones and stress and balancing all this. So we have a bunch of great questions.
Awesome.
But I love that, you know, because it's just, that's really what it all always boils down to, you know, always boils down to what you put into your body, that food, you know, the physical part of it, but also, so the nutrition, but also that, that energy that we can call love, or you know, I call universal energy, that really also affects the healing process. So, you know, your journey has been extraordinary. And so at what point did you decide to go and to study to be a nurse, and specifically a neurosurgical nurse?
So I decided to become a nurse. So after that incident with my uncle, you know, I had a couple more mentors that came along, and it really did change my life. And I started really working hard, get back on track, because I had dropped out of college when I found out I was sick. Dropped out of school, had to file bankruptcy, quit my job, I was a mess. And so I took responsibility, kicked it into gear, and it's like I just made up time. And so I was like working really hard, decided to become a nurse. And I didn't know at first I wanted to be a neurosurgical ICU nurse. It's really weird. I became a nurse on it was a combined unit, neurosurgical ICU and trauma, level A trauma. And so a lot of people would say to me, oh, that's so interesting. You became a trauma nurse after everything you've been through. But the type of trauma nurse I was not people talking about their feelings. It was like blood and guts and like, you know, cracked skulls. And I did not want to deal with people who talked about their feelings. I didn't want to deal with walkie talkies is what I called them. I wanted to deal with intubated and sedated and we don't talk. I was much better with that. That wasn't until many years later that I came to terms with what I had been through, because I survived by not being a victim. I survived by not talking about all those things. And I hated the word trauma. I'm like, ew, it's just so dramatic. It's so ew. And so I just couldn't deal with it. It's like, it kind of made me want to throw up in my mouth a little bit.
I completely understand.
So it wasn't until years later that I finally was like, all right, I need to deal with this. And really, like I said, it was a journey, but meeting my husband was a big turning point for me, because I wasn't a patient, by the way. We were dating. I didn't even know who he was for the first 3 weeks. I actually, he wasn't on television all the time then, but I didn't know who he was. And so it was super interesting. A couple people started like making comments about him. And I'm like, what are they talking about? Like what? And then one of my friends was like, she found out 3 weeks after we were dating, like that I was dating him. She's like, oh my God, you're dating a rock star psychiatrist. And I'm like, rock star and psychiatrist, that's kind of an oxymoron, but okay. So I didn't really know who he was. But he was so gentle and so loving and so kind and so different from my experience. I'd almost canceled my first date with him because my experience with psychiatrists had been so negative. Yeah. And so, but he was so different. Mm-hmm. And he had this really new, cool way of looking at psychiatry, right? Like, what if it's about brain health? Yeah. And I'm like, what? Like, you know, and so he was so encouraging, and he didn't stalk me, but he wouldn't go away because I was not ready to let someone get close. I would not let him get close because if someone got too close, they would see how messed up I was.
Yeah.
So as long as it was from the outside, I looked like a pretty good package. Mm-hmm. You know, I was pretty successful. I accomplished a lot. I could keep it together. But if you got too close, you would see too much.
Yeah.
So, but he wouldn't go away. And of course, he could see through it. And so just through that encouragement, I finally decided to dig into some of the trauma and start to be able to acknowledge. Are you there?
That's beautiful. We left for a second. No, that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank that was so weird. So sorry.
No, thank you so much for sharing that. That is just, it's such a beautiful story. And you know, again, so many things you say, I'm like, oh, that's me, or that was me. Like, I can, you know, absolutely relate. And I think that there are so many other women out there, just, you know, women and men that can relate to the same thing. And so, you know, I think that's beautiful and almost and clearly so synergistic that you met your husband. Through your experiences, is there something that advice that you can give someone who hasn't had that turning point yet? Like what would you have looked for now that you've journeyed this far? You know, I know it's hard for most people to kind of just come out cold for help. And as you said, sometimes therapist isn't helpful. So what would you say would be, you know, maybe a first step for someone who is looking for that turning point?
You know, it's a little complicated because everyone's situation is so different. But I think one of the things that binds people to not getting help is shame. Yeah. Somehow when you've been traumatized, you think it's your fault. So there's that. I think that's a big one for women is shame. Being fearful of, like I was, if you knew me, you couldn't love me. So that was a big one. And I think that's one of the reasons I finally decided to write this book. Yeah. Because once I got to the other side of it, I was like, that's it. Like, no, I didn't like implode. Nothing happened to me. Nobody did anything to me.
Yeah.
Like, and people, if they don't like it, like now that I'm on the other side of it, I'm like, okay, you know, that's okay. We can just agree to disagree and you can go your way, you know? Yeah. And also, so I think really dealing with the shame of it is an understanding that there's just so much joy on the other side of it. But I read something really, really interesting. It's really hard for people to forgive and to let go of anger and fear when they've been traumatized. But the problem with not letting go of it is it's you that it's hurting. If somebody's hurt you, you know, and you keep playing it over and over and over in your head, it's hurting you. But whenever I post something about forgiveness, people are like, but how do you do it? I can't do it because they don't deserve it or because what they did to me was so bad. And I read this really interesting thing and I just thought it was fascinating that when people can't forgive and they're holding on to anger that they know is hurting them, not the other person, really it's rooted in their lack of ability to draw boundaries. It's rooted in the lack of power, personal power.
Yes.
They hold on to the anger to keep a barrier between them and that person or anyone else from doing that to them again. But if they really truly felt powerful, they would have the power to draw boundaries and establish them and maintain them. And they wouldn't have that fear. They could let it go.
Yes.
So that's so interesting to me. And I thought, you know, if we could work on boundaries and release shame, maybe that would be a first step.
No, it's a beautiful first step. And, you know, and of course I believe in energy and this and the different energy centers. So it's very much in alignment with that. It's you're blocking yourself from receiving what you want. You're blocking yourself from receiving, you know, love and empowering yourself because you think that you're actually putting, you know, a brick wall that's a protective shield around you when really it's kind of the opposite. So I think that's that's a really beautiful point. And for those of you, we're just gonna just check in again. For those of you who are just tuning in, you know, we are talking to Tana Amon, who is an incredible soul, and she's just released, right? It was in January?
Just released
an incredible book. It's called The Relentless Courage of a Scared Child. And in it, she really offers hope and healing to other people who are struggling with traumatic experiences and all the consequences that come from traumatic experiences. So if you don't already follow her, go to my pinned comment and you'll see her handle. It's her Instagram handle. Go give her a follow. I'm sure if you have questions, you can always DM her. But if you go to her profile, it's her website, and she has just so much information on health, healing, nutrition, recipes, fitness, and just in mindset and just emotional health. Because really that's what we're here to talk about today, is how to be mentally and physically strong in 2021. And I've talked to her about so many things.
But really all of this is part of being mentally and physically strong. Because let's face it, 2020 was traumatic for people. Yes. And it really took people down. And the COVID-19, people are drinking more, they're using opioids more as coping mechanisms because they were traumatized. Mm-hmm. So really, I think a lot of what we're saying is appropriate to people who, because any type of trauma, it doesn't have to be, trauma is trauma.
100%.
Just how you experience it, you know, we all experience it differently. We've all been through different types of trauma, but the experience in our body is sort of the same. And when you get stuck in that flight, fight, or freeze, that actually prevents you from, you're talking about energy. I might say it a little differently, but it's the same thing.
Oh,
it prevents your normal functions from energetically being able to, from you being able to function normally, because all of your energy is going to survival. Mm-hmm. And when your energy is in survival, you can't actually be focused on just about anything else. Mm-hmm. And your body is stuck there.
Yes.
So someone asked about cortisol, and that's one of the problems with being stuck in that cortisol flight, fight, freeze. And that's another thing I love about martial arts training is, and probably very similar with what you do, is you learn about energy and you learn about adrenaline and how to control adrenaline and when it's out of control and, you know, all these things. And so it's a really important thing to learn.
Yes, no, it really is. And, you know, and again, you might not use the same terms, but I've, you know, watched your videos and I've looked at the things you've shared, and we're really talking about the same thing. And there's no one way to describe it, but it's there. It's, you know, that life force, that chi, that energy. And so, and it does, you know, when you close up and you're inflamed and you're in that fight and flight mode, you are closing up all that, you're blocking the flow of energy. So you're blocking the ability to receive and even to receive nutrients, right? Mm-hmm. So let's at least, you know, I know your time is valuable and I'm not sure how much more time you have with us, but we have okay, good, thank goodness. And I just want to introduce you to Gizmo.
Oh, I saw Gizmo on your page. So cute.
He's so snoring cute. So loud right now. So I don't know if you guys can hear it.
Yeah, I had to have my dog go out because my dog is massive and he snores too. Like giant white shepherd.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So yeah, it's really Gizmo that's snoring. That's the noise. But so I'm not gonna touch him. He can stay. That's his life post.
That's so funny.
So let's at least go into, you know, your four daily habits, or the four daily habits you recommend for people who are, you know, wanting to start 2021 strong, or still the beginning of 2021. You know, if you haven't gotten your footing yet, you still can, right? So what are some of your daily habits? And I know you talked about like four that you really want people to, you guys, write this down, these habits.
Okay, so I think most of the habits, I have a huge list of habits that I do, and
oh my
you probably
gosh,
do too.
We want all of them. Right? Like, the questions were like, what does she do for this? What does she do for that?
Right, exactly. And you probably do a lot of the same ones, I'm going to guess. But I want to give people a concept that will help them a little bit. So before, if it's okay.
Absolutely, yes.
So at our clinics, we treat people according to four circles. Because you like energy, I'm going to put it in those terms. We treat people according to four circles. Mm-hmm. Your biology, your psychology, your social circle, and your spiritual circle. And the spiritual circle is often missing with medicine, right?
Yes.
But all four of those circles are really important. I like to think of them like tires on a car. Mm-hmm. So your biology is your brain and your body. How is your brain and your body functioning? What are you doing to keep them healthy? Your diet, hydration, sleep, How's your brain functioning? Have you had a head injury? Like all of those things, your supplementation, that's your biology. Your psychology is how are you managing your mind? Because your thoughts lie. They lie a lot. Yes. So you've got to discipline your thoughts. You would never let a two-year-old run unattended through your house destroying stuff. Well, that is what your mind does. Okay. Yes. So why are you letting your inner child like wreak havoc yes. in your mind? Right. So you've got to discipline your thoughts. Then there's the social circle, and people matter. They matter a lot because people are contagious.
Yes.
So who you hang out with matters. And 2020 really, really affected this one. People who get their significance or they're bonding by going to church. That's yes. their group. Or AA.
Yes.
And they couldn't go. I mean, these yeah. are, that's a big deal. Because if you're a recovering alcoholic and you're hanging out in a bar, that's not mm-hmm. a good thing. So mm-hmm. we really have to focus on that. And then there's the spiritual circle. And the spiritual circle is, for everybody, this is different, right? So for me, I call it God. For you, mm-hmm. it might be about purpose. It might be about yeah. something else. But yeah. purposeful people live 11 years longer. Mm-hmm. So it's important to have a sense of purpose, something bigger than yourself. Because those people live longer. Mm-hmm. So like, why is the world a better place? Because you breathe. Like, does this have eternal value? Take it off of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you focus on those four circles, I think of them like tires on a car.
Mm-hmm.
So if that car is driving and one of those tires goes flat, the car will drive for a little while. Yeah. But if more than one of, not long, but if more than one of those tires goes flat, that car is going to crash. When I was in my 20s, my car flipped, right? Because all of them were empty. They were just flat. They were gone. So I like to take the concept because I want people to start thinking rather than just these specific habits, because maybe I'm going to tell you to hydrate. Hydrate and sleep are probably two of the biggest things you can do, right? The greatest things you can do that are just quick and easy to make yourself feel better. But maybe you're already doing that. What I really want you to do is look at your four tires. Which one's flat? Like, pay attention. That. Keep the air in your tires. If your biology is not quite right, but you're hydrating and you're sleepy, then maybe it's your supplementation or maybe it's your food. Yeah. Pay attention. Or did you have a head injury? So do a little assessment in each one of these tires. Like, you go get your tires, you use a gauge and you measure it.
Mm-hmm.
So measure what's going on. Look at your psychology. Are you checking yourself? Are you actually like using the tool to question your thoughts? Act like you were when you were a teenager and you used to talk back a lot. You need to do that to your thoughts. You need to talk back all the time. Question them. One of my favorite books is Byron Katie's Loving What Is.
It's a great book.
Mm-hmm. Great book. Fantastic, very simple way to just challenge your thoughts. And then go to your social circle. Just because we can't fit, we're physically distanced. I hate the term socially distancing. But just because we are physically distanced does not mean we can't still connect like we are now.
Absolutely.
We're on Zoom, right? I joined a prayer group by Zoom, or you can join whatever group by Zoom. But you can still stay connected in some way. And then your spiritual circle, figure out something. So meditation and prayer, for me, those are critical to keep me like not losing my mind. They just keep me balanced. It keeps me grounded.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love, you know, I love that visual too. Like, everyone can relate to that. You know, it's four tires in a car. It's brilliant. And as you said, you know, one goes flat, it can still go for a little bit and it's not going to drive effectively or efficiently, even if it does go for a little bit. And then eventually that car is going to stop running. So,
and you know, when your tire, you know, when your car is not driving well, you know, when it isn't. So it just stop for a minute. So check in, right?
Yeah, no, that's great. And I hope you guys all wrote that down. Who is the book? It was Byron Katie. So I think.
Oh, Loving What Is.
Yeah. Loving What Is. So, no, I think that's such a great, and it's so simple. And again, and I ordered your book. It's on the way from Amazon. I don't have it yet.
Thank you.
I can't wait to read it. And
you guys have
to go order this book. I'm sure if you can't use it for yourself, although we all can, I'm sure there's someone in your life that would benefit from the healing and the teachings in this book. And I love just everything that you've shared so far, because it's so relatable and attainable, just like these tires. You know, it sounds like so overwhelming to come in strong and to be strong. You've got to check off all these things, but you're just breaking it down to four categories, these four.
Yeah. Tires. And I mean, if I had to pick like things right now, it's like, get your sleep right, get hydration, and wake up in the morning and focus, do what we call positivity bias training. So if you're going to do just anything, like do these simple things, don't start big, start small. If you're like really been in a dark place, start small. So wake up in the morning, and it, as much as it sounds irritating, annoying, or overly simplistic, it matters. When you wake up in the morning and you say, today is going to be a great day, or better yet, ask yourself, why is today going to be a great day? Your brain doesn't have a sense of humor. So it has no choice but to look for the answer. So that's called positivity bias training. It starts looking for why the day is going to be a great day. Because we all have this tendency to focus on the negative because that's what keeps us safe. That's your brain is hardwired to do that, to look for what's threatening, what's scary, shut the news off. But if you just do that simple thing every morning, and then at the end of the day, you go, what went well today?
Yes.
So it sounds ridiculous to people who are in a dark place, but I promise you that simple thing of doing that, we've all heard, write down what you're grateful for, but just causing your brain to focus on what's good will begin to change your mindset.
I love that. I mean, obviously those are all the same things that I practice and I teach as well. And it does sound so simple, but it's doable.
It is simple.
Just do one thing, you know, do one thing at a time. And that's usually how I am with clients. It's just like, okay, so there's a lot. So we'll just do one thing and we'll add on another. We'll add on another. And we don't take away from things to eat. We just add on to the list of the things that would be better for you to eat, you know? So that's usually how we do. But I love what you said about asking your brain why today's going to be such a good day. And that's just, that's slightly different than going over a gratitude list or an affirmation list or mantras. I mean, those are all incredibly powerful, but having your brain look for the reason why, that's another step that's just brilliant, you know?
And no, I would questions are powerful because questions are something that your brain will try to answer. Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting the answer you want, ask a different question. It's change your question.
Yes, I love that. Oh, so simple, so powerful.
It's simple, and it should be simple, right? For thousands of years, we didn't have all this technology. It should be simple.
Yeah, no, it's just such a good question. I just tweaked my morning routine. So that's the question that I'm going to start asking myself. Because, you know, I go back over the day, and it's just like, okay, what am I grateful for today? What went well today? But that's just like another little tweak in my morning routine. That's what's going to happen. Why is today going to be a great day? And that's awesome. Just, thank you for that. So good.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And this is the other thing is like spending time with the people that are encouraging to you, the people who are, stop it. My husband's in the background making faces at me. I can't, I'm trying to keep a straight face.
He can make a cameo. He
wants to make a cameo. He's back. He does this to me. He's like,
"Hi, Dr. Eamon."
Hello.
We are gonna have back to have there, you like, on. You'll get your. We'll give you your own segment, your own slide. And then she'll have to do the same. Then you'll have to copy on him.
I'm like trying to be serious.
Oh my god, so cute. Okay,
living in the house with him, I'm telling you, that's a whole nother thing.
I'm just going to ask a personal question. Wait, how did you guys meet again?
We actually met online. He tries to come up with some crazy, extravagant story about how he had a head injury and I was a nurse. I'm like, okay, stop it. We met online. I'm like, why are we making this? Yeah, we met online, but it was this time before he was on. Like, could you imagine him trying to go online now? No. But it was way before he was on TV all the time. And
I'm not on any dating apps. I've never done the online thing. I'm trying to figure out how to use Facebook. I have some that has with it. I've got Instagram. I know how to use this, and I just kind of stick to this. I wouldn't even know how to use those.
You know, apps, and the thing is, I had neither. I'd gone through a divorce. I'd been married for a long time. And so I had a little girl. I was a single working mother. I had a baby. And so she was two. And I'm like, how am I going to date? Like, how am I going to date? So my friends were like, you need to go online. I'm like, go online? Like, how do you, what? Like, it seemed like this whole weird world. And he works so much. And he doesn't drink. He doesn't go out to bars or restaurants. So how is he going to meet anybody? So it really sort of was the natural way for us to meet.
Well, and you know what? I feel like it's the how people meet now. Because if I'm talking to my single girlfriends and they're talking about meeting someone, like you met someone through a friend or at an event or at a dinner. It's so rare that
pool.
Yeah, that my girlfriends are like, oh, wait, you met someone at like in real life?
Right, exactly. An online thing, it expands your pool. You have to be a good screener. Like I'm a pretty good screener, I think. So obviously. So I'm a good screener because, you know, it's, people are always like, oh, you're going to meet creeps. I'm like, oh, here's a newsflash. You meet creeps in real life. So you just have to be a good screener.
It's so true. And then I think it's also energy. It's energy and vibrations. And, you know, that plays into one of your tires, you know, community. Right. And it's so important. And it's also about connecting with the right community. You know, it's not just like putting yourself in a community of people, but in the right community of people that are, they vibe your vibe, you know, that you can really build a tribe from. And I'm so glad that that's something that you, again, brought to highlighted, because it's become so apparent. It's that is so important. That community is so important. But I think it's so important to remind people that it's okay. You know, go online.
You
know,
oh yeah, you too could have someone in the background making faces at you.
Yes. Oh, Giz, are you okay? Giz is coughing over there. We had about 4 requests to see your dog. I don't know if you can bring your dog.
Daniel, can you go get Aslan? They want to see the dog. He's going to go get the dog for me.
Oh, good.
He's beautiful. He's so sweet. Come here, buddy. Come here. Come over. He's following you. Come here.
Oh.
Can you see him?
Yes. He's beautiful.
Isn't he pretty?
He is gorgeous.
And he's very sweet.
Beautiful. You can tell.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
He's your little buddy online. Actually, he's not little. He's like 15 times your size. Yeah, he's not little. His is about 8 pounds, so.
Yeah, we had a 4-pound poodle. This one's 85, so.
Wow, that is pretty big. Well, this is so much fun. I feel like I could just chat with you guys for a while.
I know.
Like, so we get Roger in here and then Dr. Eamon. I wish I could like 4-way these.
I know.
It would be so fun.
We did. You know, we did one with Jay Shetty where the two of us were. We just squished together. It can be done.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can do that. Maybe we can also do that and have you both on too. So that'd be super fun for another time. Yeah, I would love it. Oh, someone said Clubhouse. I know. I don't know if you've been on the Clubhouse app at all, but. That's another space that people are chatting a lot.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I can send you guys an invite if you want. Like, I can send you, because it's like one of those invite type apps.
Oh.
It's more audio, so it's not video, which is nice because you don't have to get made up.
Right.
But it's all
I can stay in my audio. PJs.
I think that's what everybody does. And so it's audio, and but it's like a panel. Audio, and you can still do the Q&A and just chat, and it's like it's really great. So I'll message you after this, and
that would be great.
I'll send you guys invites so that you can connect on it, because it'd be amazing. And we were in a room last night, and our friends Craig had put on a room from Brendan Burchard, who was actually talking about his experience with you guys. And
we love Brendan. Brendan is a good friend of ours.
Yeah, so he was talking about that. He was sharing about his brain injury. He was just sharing about all of that. So, and I thought, I'm talking to Tana tomorrow. How funny. So,
small world, right?
I know. Well, actually, it is a really small world, because, again, as we're talking community, the beautiful thing about community and why it's so important for mental health is that it really does shrink down that world. You know, when you feel like you're all alone in a really big world, with all these problems, or maybe you don't feel like you have problems, it really shrinks it down, because then you start to realize that you know so many more people than you know, because their network is your network, and you're all a big family. Hi, Giz.
Well, and you just, you start, it's like minds. Mm-hmm. I saw Dave Asprey on your page. I don't know if you know Dave, but I was just on his podcast today as well. So I don't know if
you were.
You guys were connected. I just saw he commented on one of your posts, so I didn't know.
We go back and forth on DMs all the time, but I haven't even had him on yet, so I should have him on as well. So it'd be so fun. But
he's very funny. He's very irreverent. He's very funny. So.
I love that. I saw that he had Roger on too, so I was like, and I think Roger's the teacher as well. I feel like Roger's everybody's teacher.
Roger knows everybody. Well, yeah,
he's just that etheric angel.
Tony Robbins, and all these people know Tony Robbins, so
yes. And I am a part of Tony's community as well.
Yes, too.
So
Tony's been to the clinic. Yeah, Tony came to the clinic and let us film it. Like, we did a little live chat.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was cool.
I actually need to come in because
you
I
need to come in.
I really do. I would love you guys to, I probably should have had you guys scan my brain back when I was really feeling all these neurological issues. It was like in May of last year, in June, before people were talking about lingering cognitive issues. And I honestly thought I was just, it was just me.
Honey, how many scans do you have now that are COVID?
About 40.
We have about 40 COVID scans. Some of them are fine. Some of them are struggling. But it's good to know because then you can optimize it and do the right things. I've got a couple people in my small circle who are having some pretty significant cognitive effects. And so for some people, like you are doing the right things. So probably you're going to recover better. It's really important to know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I share all my protocols. And I was still really struggling, but then I started doing more hyperbaric. I did a bunch of NAD drips, and so that really helped. So I'm in a much, much better
place. And food matters, and
So, and you guys, I'm going to jump back on again and just remind you to check my pinned comment here at the bottom, because I'm talking to just an amazing, wonderful, I'm already obsessed with her, human being. Her name is Tana Ammons, and she has a book. It's called The Relentless Courage of a Scared Child. It's not her first book. So I encourage you to go follow her at her Instagram handle and then go to her website and check out everything that she's doing, because she's just not just a wealth of information and love and knowledge, but someone that I really just resonate with deeply here in my soul. So I encourage you to go and check out everything that she's doing. It's magic. And I would love to know if there's anything more that you'd like to add. Otherwise, I don't know how good you are on time, but we definitely have questions.
I'm fine. I'm actually fine. The one thing I would say is, I know if people are struggling right now with their mental health and their physical health, you asked a question about, why it's hard for people to take the first step. We talked a little bit about that. One thing that after going through the process, one of my favorite art forms, and you probably know of this art form, is called kintsugi. And it's a Japanese art form of broken pottery where they mend the pottery.
Yes.
And I love it. I love the symbolism with it, because that mended pottery, they take this broken pottery, these broken pieces, and they mend it with gold or platinum. And the Japanese that practice this art, they think that the pottery is more beautiful because of the breaks. Mm-hmm. Not in spite of them, but because of them. Each one of those breaks has something to tell, that it's got more history and just more depth to it. And so as I thought about that, I love that symbolism. But I thought, would I ever want to go back and change everything from my past? Would I want to be cured? No, I wouldn't. Because I'm kind of like, I'm not a survivor. Like, I'm kind of a surthriver. And I wouldn't want to change that. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to go back.
Surthriver. Yeah. I really love that. Okay.
So I wouldn't want to, I wouldn't want to take that away from myself. Mm-hmm. And no, it wasn't fun, but that's what made me strong.
Absolutely.
And to anyone struggling right now, just remember. And the other thing is, I had a point in my life when I wanted to die. I remember it. But there's no way I could have known that would become my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fast forward, it's like, oh, wow, without that experience, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. That is, so much fun. That is so cool. That is so helpful for people,
Hang on. That's such a beautiful reminder, because when you're in it, you can't see past it, And if you can have these reminders from this incredible soul sharing everything that she's sharing with us, and you'll find more in her book, you'll see that there is more than that moment that's so dark, that kind of consumes us to just think past that, like, what could this be? Could this be my purpose? And I remember that's how I felt too, when I'd almost died after one of my surgeries, and I was bleeding out. It was a whole thing.
Oh, wow.
And, I've been in a couple of dark places and where I couldn't use the upper side of my body for months, and I was a chef, so many things. But I, like you, I wouldn't go back and rewrite any of it, because it helped my purpose. My purpose started with my parents. But then with my own health stuff, that's become, it fuels me. And I get up every day so excited, and I get to meet people like you, and I can share your story. And this is just about serving and helping other people. And I never, ever would have thought, or I couldn't have seen that then.
No.
So
you can't see it then. Yeah.
No, you can't. So it's just like knowing that if you can't see it right when you're going through that dark place, but to know that there is a place beyond that, you know.
And I think that's what we call faith, right? It's like, yeah, have faith that it's going to get faith, better.
Faith, it's faith, it's hope, you know, it's all of yeah. it. And so, and but it always, but the reminder that it still comes from here. So at least it's not an external that you have to look for and find, but it's the internal. And so I think that's one of the most, the things I can't wait to read about in your book is just how you show that hope and healing, you know, and how that can happen for everyone.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you think after.
Oh my gosh, I literally can't. I'm like checking Amazon. Is it coming? It's supposed to be Prime.
No. Yeah, now that doesn't mean anything.
I know, it's true. Oh wait, oh my gosh. I just, my sister just put me a big gigantic note to remind me about the giveaway. So I didn't talk to you about this because I've just been like springing on people. I've only done it 3 times. So just this week. So what we started doing was, I was talking to Dr. Kelly Ann. It was the beginning of the week. And we were just like, oh, people were asking questions about her product. And we're like, well, how about we just like do a giveaway right now and just like pick a few people from the audience, they can just screenshot. So people had so much fun, and we just tried it again yesterday with Dr. Axe, and it was just, people just loved it.
See?
Yeah. So if you're up for it, and it could be this book, it could be your other book. I mean, if there's anything.
No, this book, for sure.
Wonderful. So thank you for holding it up. I was going to ask you, normally I have it right here. So could you hold it up again really quick?
Absolutely.
So you guys,
the courage of a scared child.
Yes, you beautiful people who have stayed on with us, take a screenshot of our chat right now. Take a screenshot and post it to your stories. Tag me, tag Tana, tag, the book doesn't have a handle, does it? Have its own Instagram handle?
No,
but you can do a hashtag. You can do a hashtag. Yeah. For the relentless courage of a scared child. And you can also tag Amen Clinics. I mean, just tag all the things and post on your stories, tag. If you have a private account, then DM it to us, send it to us direct. But if not, please share. You can post it on your page, you can post it on your stories, and we'll pick one winner, maybe? Or
no, how many winners? Three to four.
Okay, so we'll pick three winners. That's the magic number. So we'll pick three winners. And I will also give away something. It'll be a surprise. It might be a crystal, a healing crystal that will help with that. So that's it. So go ahead and do that. And I was on a while, so I think Instagram is about to kick me off. But this is amazing. Thank you so much for doing this.
It was
this.
So much fun. I'm so grateful.
I loved it.
I'm so happy to finally talk to you. I know we've been trying to do this for a while.
I know. So I'm going to message you right now. As soon as we jump off, I'm going to DM you so that I can get your number. And then I'll give you those invites for
Clubhouse.
Yes,
please.
And then,
that'd be great.
Then we just have to talk more. Let's do this again.
I can't wait.
Okay, yay. All right.
Thanks,
thank you
Serena.
Guys so much. I'll talk to you guys later. Okay, bye.